Hey kids! Welcome to a very special episode of Songs in the Key of X. My name is Jeffrey X. Martin of Biff Bam Pop, and at the aforementioned Biff Bam Pop, we are celebrating Yes Week. We tried No Fortnight, and it didn't work at all. It was just a disaster. But Yes Week sees me working out just swell, and joining me today is Biff Bam Pop publisher, editor-in-chief, and a close personal friend of mine, Andy Burns. What's up, Andy?
Hey, brother. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Exciting time.
It is an exciting time. We are here to discuss the brand new Yes album, Mirror to the Sky. The fact that Yes has been around in one iteration or another for over 50 years is something to be celebrated. But the fact that they keep making new music is absolutely incredible, because most bands with that kind of longevity are looked at as nostalgia acts. You know, they play the hits, it's the same set list every night, they're on the casino loop. Mirror to the Sky sounds vital. And that's interesting for a band that's been around this long. Yes has gone through a lot of lineup changes, and there's an interesting mix of old and new members of the band on Mirror to the Sky. We got Steve Howe, who's been in and out of the band for decades. He's on guitar, and he's the producer of this album. Now, Howe left, in the 80s, and he became a founding member of Asia along with former Yes keyboardist Jeff Downs. So I'm doing history here, and you got to check me on this. Because
so, you know, here's where I'm going to check you right now.
Okay.
Because you're not wrong, but, you know, it's a tough one to say that Steve Howe left the band, because back in 1980, after the Drama album, which featured New Blood and Jeff Downs and Trevor Horn, Jeff on keyboards, Trevor on vocals, along with Chris Squire and Alan White and Steve Howe, it was kind of more like, you know, in the words of, you know, there's a great book out called Yes Stories. It was published almost 30 years ago by a guy named Tim Morse. And it was kind of like Yes in their own words kind of thing. And I recall, I read that book so many times. And what I remember was, you know, Steve said, it's not like, you know, him and Jeff Downs were kind of left holding the Yes bag in 1980 after the Drama tour. In North America, the tour did really, really well. Like, they were playing sold out venues. It was a harder thing for the band in Europe, in the UK, where the new lineup, you know, no Rick Wakeman, no John Anderson, wasn't as well received. So because of that, Trevor Horn decided he was going to focus on producing. Chris Squire and Alan White at the time were, you know, just kind of going to do their own thing. They wound up working with Jimmy Page for a little bit. And at the time, you know, for Steve Howe and Jeff Downs, Steve Howe had been through so many, you know, building and rebuilding Yes once he got in the band, you know, when he joined for the Yes album in 1970, you know, for him, it was like, do I really want to do this again? And so that was really the impetus for the formation of Asia, which was something new. So, you know, so I just, you know, because Steve Howe is the longest serving member of Yes now in this lineup, and because he is the producer on Mirror to the Sky, it feels really important to say, like, for the most part, I don't really feel like, much like, you know, if Steve ever left the band, I would sort of, you know, I'd probably suggest that he left after the Union album. And I don't even feel like he left. I think it was more like, you know, that eight-man lineup, maybe Steve's services were no longer required when they went back to the 90125 lineup. All this to say is, I mean, he really is much like, you know, Chris Squire and Alan White, where, you know, he was a stalwart of the band. He wasn't there in the 80s, but that was more because the band had ended and had regrouped without him, rather than him sort of doing a Bill Bruford or a Rick Wakeman or a John Anderson and saying, I'm out. I don't really feel like Steve's ever left Yes, other than for that sort of very, you know, for a brief moment where, and I don't even know the logistics of why he was, what happened, you know, in between Union and Talk and him coming back to the band in 95. That was a very long-winded way of me trying to, like, keep things kind of, you know, kind of straight. But it feels important you know, it feels important to me, mainly because, you know, for the naysayers who are out there sort of questioning, you know, the lineup of this band, and I know we'll get to that in a, you know, we'll go on with who else is in the band in a second, and saying, oh, it's like a Steve Howe, you know, Steve Howe's Yes, whatever. Well, maybe it is, but the guy's been there long enough, you know, like he is, and as we hear on Mirror to the Sky, is he's got an excellent vision of what Yes music should sound like.
I think John Anderson thinks he's still on Yes too, if you read some recent interviews with him. He's like, I don't think I ever left.
Well, I've never left Yes. Well, you know, look, I think, you know, the thing about Yes, and, you know, for, there's a, there was an article, you know, a few months back in Rolling Stone online, where the guy who wrote it, Andy Green, who is really Rolling Stone's kind of classic rock guy, and he's a great writer, and he's a really, really excellent interviewer. And I, 9 times out of 10, I really appreciate Andy Green's work, but he did this interview with John Anderson, and it really felt like he was kind of poking the bear when it comes to this version of Yes, which doesn't seem to hold much water with Andy Green of Rolling Stone, and sort of saying, you know, if you and Steve, John Anderson, if you and Steve were together, you're like the Rolling Stones and prog rock or something along those lines. Well, you know, it's a really nice thought, but I think both men would acknowledge, respectfully of one another at this point, is that they can't work together anymore. You know, there's been videos, especially, you know, there's been some promo videos from Mirror to the Sky with Steve Howe, where he's like, much respect to John Anderson. We love John Anderson. And Steve recorded guitar parts for John Anderson's, I think it was A Thousand Hands was the name of the album. But being in a band is such a different thing. And John Anderson, for whatever, you know, his strengths, his weaknesses, however you want to look at it, you know, he is obviously a legendary piece of rock and roll history. And I have no doubt that if he is in the band called Yes, he wants to steer the ship. Steve Howe has, you know, alongside, you know, now the late Alan White and the late Chris Squire, helped steer the ship for Yes post John Anderson, and even when John Anderson was in the band. And I just don't think from the standpoint of working together that it's feasible. It's great to want to see them work together, but I don't think either man would get much joy out of it. And I don't think that the work would be nearly as strong and as accomplished as Mirror to the Sky if John Anderson was in the band. And hey, there's going to be, you know, to the Yes fans, the, you know, to the no John, no Yes fans, they'll hear me say that and say I'm full of crap. But, you know, I love the band as much as you do, Jeff, as much as, you know, so many fans out there. You follow it long enough and, you know, you try not to think selfishly of like, oh, I just want to see my version and this is blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, you know, like these are musicians and you want to see them enjoying themselves together. If they're going to make new music, make it a pleasure. If you're going to perform concerts, make it a pleasure. Enjoy being on stage with your compatriots because that pays off for the audience. And I just don't think that there's any, you know, I don't think you'll see John Anderson and Steve Howe in Yes again because I don't think that the guys would enjoy working together in that respect. Better they have a relationship that's personal and can look back on the amazing history they created together rather than sort of in their golden years, like let's not mince words about it because next year John Anderson's 80, Steve Howe turns, I think, turns 76 this year. There's more time behind than in front of now and people should be enjoying themselves. Sorry, I'm long-winded, but obviously I'm so passionate about Yes.
Well, and let's kind of get into that, too, because before we go on to the rest of the current lineup, I want to talk about kind of some fan lore as far as Yes goes, because there, to my thinking, there are three different iterations of Yes fans. You got Troopers, who like the stuff from the 70s. You got Generators, who like the stuff from the 80s. And then you've got people like you and me, Andy, who they're called Yes holes, because they like the whole thing, the entire catalog. They're there for it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a complete Yes hole. Absolutely, because, you know, and I think, you know, I think, you know, I sent out a tweet earlier today, or maybe it's the idea that, you know, this is a band that for the most part, I can listen to every album and enjoy every album, you know? My favorite Yes album is Drama, and there's no John Anderson on that album. There's no Rick Wakeman on that album. There's no Tony Kaye on that album. Tony Kaye, who is my favorite Yes keyboardist. So, you know, and when I became a Yes fan, and I can tell you, I became a Yes fan in the spring of 1991. You know, and I would like, and I was, as I was learning about the band, I had my Rolling Stone album guide, and it gave Drama, I think, like 2 stars or 1 star, and said, oh, the Buggles are on this album. It's no good. It doesn't sound like Yes, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know, 40 plus years after it was released, 43 years after it was released, 30 years from me after reading that review, it's my favorite Yes album. You know, one of the great joys about, you know, one of the things I love about my own love of Yes is that I can listen to just about any album of theirs and really, really enjoy it. Because I find that for the most part, there's consistency. And, you know, Yes has always been a band that is the sum of its parts. And I've never, as a fan, I've never really cared who's in the band. You know, I was skeptical when Chris passed away because I love Chris. Chris was my bass hero. You know, but Billy Sherwood came in. Billy Sherwood, who had played with Yes on the 1994 Talk Tour and who had played rhythm guitar in 1997, in 1997 for the Open Your Eyes Tour, and he was on the ladder. And who was a close friend of Chris Squire, and he was able to come in, and you know, I felt comfortable, you know, as a Yes fan, saying, "Yeah, Billy can do the work," and he has, you know, and especially on Mirror to the Sky, which you know, you and I have talked about that there are some serious Squire-isms on this album, and it's not Billy trying to ape Chris. It is, you know, it just feels like he's reached this sweet spot of being his own musician while also paying homage to Chris.
I agree with that, and we'll probably get into that later too. All right, current lineup: Steve Howe, Jeff Downs, Billy Sherwood on bass, John Davison as the singer, who has a very, his voice is beautiful. It's just, he could reach those high notes that John Anderson could reach, but it's more pure. It's not as ragged as John Anderson got sometimes. You know what I mean? Anderson had kind of this rough quality to his voice. Like, he never crept up to notes, but at the same time, it was kind of like you could tell he was clenching his butthole trying to get there.
You know, especially on those early albums as well. You know, I found that, you know, John sort of, you know, he kind of cut loose in a different way, especially, you know, on their debut and on Time and a Word, where he sort of, you know, they were singing covers more, and it was a little bit not quite the pure John Anderson voice that sort of would come out, you know, around the Yes album and Fragile and Close to the Edge when the band were, you know, creating masterpiece after masterpiece.
We've also got Jay Shelland. This is he's the permanent drummer now since Alan White passed. And I guess we've kind of gone over this, but what do you think about this particular lineup in comparison to some of the other permutations of Yes that we have had?
You know, from my perspective as a fan, Yes, you know, so much of it right now in terms of this permutation, it started in 2012 when John Davison joined the band. And as far as I'm concerned, this from 2012 on, this is a band of musicians that can do anything when it comes to Yes. They can play the classic material from the 70s. They can go deep when they have to, which they've done on a couple tours. And, you know, at this point, they can create valid Yes music. I have so much respect for this lineup. You know, the one time I had a hesitancy about a lineup change was when Alan White became ill in 2016 and he wasn't able to tour when the band was playing Selection from Topographic Oceans and Drama. And I when that happened, it was my first and only time of being like a little bit against the band continuing on, at least in a live setting while Alan was sick, because Drama being my favorite album, I was like, ugh, like now they've got a ringer. That's legitimately how I felt. And I didn't go to the show. There wasn't one in Toronto where I live. There was one in Buffalo, and I said, forget it. I'm gonna skip it. And then I heard Topographic Drama, which has become my favorite Yes live album. And the majority of the playing, the drums on that album, comes from Jay Shellen, who's phenomenal. And I said to Jay, I did a meet and greet thing in 2018 for the 50th anniversary tour, and I told Jay this same story, and I said, I'm really sorry, like he wouldn't know or wouldn't care, but I said, I really wish I would have heard you play Drama. So all that to say, I think that this is a lineup that, I wrote in my review, which is on biffbandpop.com on our website, that this is, everyone on this album had a connection to Chris Squire, and I feel like you can feel him in this album. And I really think that this lineup of musicians, like extremely capable musicians who love Yes, and I'm thinking of sort of the younger guys, which is a bit of an irony there, because I think Jay's about 61 or 62 now, and both Billy and John are in their 50s, but they are still the new younger guys in the band. But they were Yes fans, and they know how Yes should sound, and they know what Yes music should sound like. And so I think that this is a band that can do anything. And I truly think that what they've done with Mirror to the Sky is add to the overarching legacy of Yes. I think it's hard for people. There are always going to be the naysayers. Again, we come back to the lineup, who will say, well, this person's not there, this person's not there. Well, Yes has never had, it's perpetual change when it comes to their lineups. But this is a consistent lineup of musicians who like playing together, who love this music, respect this music, have had a hand throughout Yes's existence in creating Yes music. And I think this is a band that can do anything. What do you think, though? What do you think?
Well, I think that Mirror to the Sky is the first latter day Yes album where I didn't miss one of the earlier lineups. I thought the previous album, The Quest, was just a bit too soft. It felt like Yes Light to me. I almost wish that Chris Squire had still been alive to give it some punch, But there's a tangible cohesiveness to Mirror in the Sky that I really enjoy. It's the first time to me, that they feel like a band and not just a couple of session guys sitting in with some people who used to be in the band.
I think that's fair. I think The Quest was, because I'm such a Yes fan, and you probably find the same thing because I know you love Yes too and other bands that you love. It's like it The Quest was a grower on me.
As opposed to a shower?
I yeah that's right. And I'll listen to it. I put it on regularly, but on my first couple listens, it wasn't what I had wanted from the band, apart from the Ice Bridge, which was a real rockin' great song. And then the album was a little bit more mid-tempo than, just me as a listener, not just of Yes music, but just me as like what sounds I gravitate towards. It was much more mid-tempo than I would have liked. There's some good stuff on that album there, I'll tell you that. Like Minus the Man, which is a Davidson Sherwood song, is a great frickin' song. Love, love, love that song. And it feels like a Yes song to me, 100%. And a lot of the key elements that we hear on Mirror to the Sky, they're there on The Quest. I mean, they're on this album, they're once again using the Thames Orchestra, which, but it's a little bit more subtle on Mirror to the Sky versus The Quest. You've had Steve Howe producing both albums. But I think, I think it's the energy level of Mirror to the Sky that really, that puts it above The Quest. This is a rockin' album, and it is a prog rockin' album. They're pushing themselves, different time changes, amazing harmonies, which it's mainly Billy Sherwood and John Davison with Steve Howe as well. Just gorgeous, gorgeous harmonies. And you've also got in the title track, you've got a 14-minute epic song, the longest song since the title track to 2010's Fly From Here, which is a top five Yes album. Everything on this album feels like they were pushing themselves to be all that they can be. And I think that they deliver. You know, it's a prog rock album. It's, you know, epic songs. Like, you know, I think three tracks are over 9 minutes in length. And then you've got the title track, which is 14 minutes in length. You've got some great, you know, proggy back and forth between Steve and Jeff Downes on the first single,
Cut from the Stars.
Cut from the Stars. I think that this comes from playing together as much as these guys have over the past decade. And also like just like a willingness to be a band together, to share ideas together. You know, just because Steve is the producer, I don't think he is a dominating force. That is my interpretation based on how we're listening. I don't think he wants, there's lots of great Steve Howe guitar work, amazing Steve Howe guitar work. But it's not like at the expense of, you know, keyboards or vocals or, you know, or killer bass lines either. You know, this is a band that sounds energized and is making energetic music that I think, you know, certainly belies the age of like of Steve and Jeff, who are also in their 70s at this point.
Okay, I mean, Mirror to the Sky feels like what fans would expect from a Yes album in terms of epicness. You know, you've
Yes.
got, like you said, you've got the two songs that are over 9 minutes long, the title track's over 14 minutes, or just shy of 14 minutes, and that pleases me. I think the longest song we got from the 80s version of Yes was a little over 7 minutes long.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking Hearts on 90125.
Well, but you know, no, you know what, Jeff? Jeff, I'm going to correct you there
Do it.
because that lineup did do Endless Dream, which is, I think, roughly 16 minutes, which was on the Talk album. So it came out in 94, but it was, you know, the same lineup. But you know, here's the thing, like the unfortunate thing was that record came out in 94 when it was all grunge. It didn't do any business whatsoever. It's a great album though, and they played, you know, that was one of the last times, one of the last tours where Yes went full out playing new music. Because I believe they played, you know, if there's seven songs on the album, I think they played five or six of them, and they would only do that sporadically afterwards. You know, they did that with the Ladder tour where they played a chunk of music off of that, and they kind of did it with Fly From Here because they would play the Fly From Here song at certain gigs when Benoit David was the vocalist in the band and when John Davison was in the band. And then of course there was like, you know, the Key studio material that never really got played except on the 35th anniversary tour. So all this to say, you know, those longer songs have become a rarity. And you know, this is the first long song to have John Davison on it, because you know, the previous two albums with him, Heaven and Earth and The Quest, there were longer songs on it, but not the epic length that we kind of that I think Yes fans want to hear. They, you know, Yes fans want to hear them branch out, and if you're not doing Ritual or Gates, you know, length, you know, like give us something like 15 minutes long and let us hear you guys scratch. And that's what we get with Mirror to the Sky.
We want that ride.
Yeah.
We want the ride. We want to start at the top of the roller coaster, go down those hills, through the calm parts, into the tunnels, and come out the other side feeling so much better about everything. The long songs, to me, are where it's at. You know, there are people out there who used to be Yes fans, or they liked them when they were hot after 90125 came out. And those people may be surprised to learn that Yes is still around, still making records. Do you think that Mirror in the Sky is enough to pull those listeners, or maybe new listeners, in?
It's unlikely. And I think that is not because of the quality of the music. I think it's just the way people consume music these days in like mass amounts. No, I don't think so. But what I do think is that what it will do is the old Yes fans, you know, look, you and I are like, you know, of a certain generation. There's a generation also older than us, and then there's multiple generations younger than us. And I think that what it will do is when the older Yes fans who like me, who will listen to everything that they put out, I think when they play it for their kids could say, will say, oh, if they're inclined, oh, this is pretty good. And I think that's how the music is going to sort of perpetuate itself and live on. Look, classic rock radio isn't going to start playing a 14-minute song from a heritage band, if there even is classic rock radio anymore.
Oh, there is, but they play a lot of Lynyrd Skynyrd, and that's about it.
Well, sure, you know what, but you know, but it's the same thing because I think, you know, are they going to play new music from Lynyrd Skynyrd? Well, no, unlikely because not, you know, because we've reached that sort of point in, you know, in the mainstream music where, you know, new music from heritage artists, the majority of people don't care. Give me the hits. Every band, you know, especially like a classic rock band, they have a core following, and they have a core following that does want to hear new music. Look, I hope some kids who like are into Tool and who are like into like who, you know, like Porcupine Tree, and you know, I hope that they hear this album or somehow they chance upon it and say, oh shit, this is really good. This is really great music. That would be amazing if it happens. But I feel like, you know, Mirror to the Sky is, you know, any new music from Yes at this point is a gift to fans. And not a like, hey, we got to get on the charts, because realistically it's not going to happen. But it's like, hey, thanks for sticking around. We hope you like this. And also, it's like, we still create, whether it's to everybody's taste is always going to, you know, that ship has sailed. And not just for Yes, it's for any, you know, really any heritage rock band. What do you think?
I don't think it's going to pull in anybody new, but I think, like you said, it's a gift for those of us who have stuck around or gone back and learned the history and heard the old stuff, and we understand that there are through lines through every single Yes album that we can kind of attach ourselves to and realize its spot in the band's history. All right, let's do the standard stuff. Hey, Andy, do you have a favorite song on the record?
Title track for sure is definitely a favorite. Because as you were saying, you're on a ride with it, and that's what you want. You want a ride. It's very modern sounding. It's got some great, you know, it's the playing is great. I would also say Cut from the Stars. You know, if I had to pick two, Cut from the Stars is killer. Look up, breathe out. It's got this killer Billy Sherwood going for the 1S bass line that can't help but recall Parallels, but it's still its own thing. And it's got this the great outro back and forth between Steve and Jeff Downes. I love that song. And you know what? I would say also, and you and I talked about it, Unknown Place, which is one of the three bonus tracks.
Dude, 8 minutes of happy.
Ah, oh, so great. So great. You know, it's kind of like an edited Awaken in a way, because, you know, the tail end of it, you've got that Jeff Downes pipe organ coming in. So that's a great, great song too. Look, as far as I'm concerned, there's no duds. You know, there's songs you like more than others, you know, but for the proper album, for the 6 songs, it's a tight album. It's tight, like all good stuff. I would suggest, like, kind of, I don't want to say weakest, because it's not weak at all. I dig it. Sort of the most, you know, standard track is Living Out Their Dream, which comes right before Mirror to the Sky. It's a co-write between Steve Howe and Jeff Downes, and it's kind of got more of a rock and roll riff. It's sort of more riffy driven. It's a great freaking song too. It's just a little bit more like, if anything was maybe going to get played on the radio, like classic rock radio, maybe it would be living out their dream, just like from a riff perspective. And it's also relatively short. But man, no, this is a strong, strong, strong album. What about you? What are your favorites?
I'm really fond of All Connected. I think it's timed out right. I like the message in the lyrics, and it goes through enough tonal shifts to keep me interested. It's not light prog, you know? They really went for it on that song, and I really, really like it. But I also have a really good time with Living Out Their Dream. That may be my second favorite song right now.
Things that you have don't make you happy. Things that you want don't come your way. Things that you've lost are gone forever.
It's fun to hear John Davison use his lower register.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And the lyrics are just kind of snarky. And that's just a blast to hear from a band that's usually very serious and ethereal. And it's like, let's talk about unity and all the different forms of God. And all of a sudden it's like, nope, these guys got married in a steakhouse. that's what this line is about. There's not a song on Mirror to the Sky that I don't like. It's not one of those records that you can skip through. But the thing that stands out to me is it's Billy Sherwood. Because it's interesting to me to note the difference between the styles of Sherwood and Squire. They're both very intricate, and they're up and down the fingerboard. But Squire style always felt more chunky to me. Mm-hmm. And let me just say to whoever's listening, Andy and I both play bass, so he'll know what I'm talking about. His chunkiness, the way he would play chords instead of just straight line, really served as a solid foundation for the songs that he played on, you know? So Sherwood does the same thing, but his style's more jazzy to me. Lots of smooth lines and sliding, but it's a different style, but it's still distinctly Yes, and that just thrills me to no end, because it tells me that even after 50-some-odd years, the band is still evolving, and I really, really like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that, you know, I think that this is Billy's album in a lot of ways. Again, like, listen to that bass riff on Cut from the Stars, which is just freaking killer. It's killer.
Yeah, it is.
And that's just, you know, he has so many moments on the album, and I really think he's just found this spot of being his own player, but there are moments where it's like, oh yeah, Chris would approve. He would say, oh yeah, that's a nod to me. But not, it's not a disingenuous, it's not like, I better sound like Chris Squire. You know, one of the things about Billy is, you know, he's on the road with the band, but he's not pulling out Rickenbackers, you know? And that was, you know, that was one of the things that he and Chris talked about when Chris asked him to step in for him in 2015. You know, he's like, be your own player. And Billy does that, you know. It's like he's not stepping up with, like, with the Rickenbacker on stage playing Heart of the Sunrise.
No Rickenbackers, and he's not wearing a sleeveless shirt with a green cape.
Exactly, or like some kind of white outfit with his heart on his sleeve. but, you know, he's the right guy for the job. The thing, too, about Billy is he's had a significant career as a producer and as a music maker outside of Yes, before he joined Yes. You know, there are no scrubs in this band, you know, and especially now, you know, like, I don't want to say there's a lot at stake, but this band is, they know that people are kind of like, that there's a vocal, loud online fan base that's always going to give them shit for whatever reason, because, mainly because who isn't in the band. And they just ignore it. I think, you know, I'm sure that they hear it, but screw those people. They're in, you know, their job is to make music and to honor this band, which is greater, as I've said, greater than the sum of its parts. And if they want to make new music, which thank God they do, like, it is at a higher echelon than a lot of other older bands, you know? Yeah, and I go back to, let's say, The Quest, for instance, which took me a while to get into, but it's still, you know, for an older band, it's a still pretty good album, right? For any band, it was fine, but there are still, you know, there's moments on there. Again, I go back to The Ice Bridge and, you know, minus the band where they're still pushing for things too. And I think that's all come to fruition on Mirror to the Sky.
John Davis is basically prog rock royalty, isn't he? I mean, is he still engaged to John Lodge's daughter from the Moody Blues?
Well, I think they got married.
Did they get married? Married? That's even better. So. See, he's the king now.
You know what? I did an email with, or sorry, an interview with John a couple of years ago. That was really a real pleasure, and we've emailed back and forth. And he's just a nice guy. He's a sweet guy who embodies Yes music. I think it's like he really does. Like he, and it starts with him being a fan. And but you know who he is, I think, like as an individual, he really is a great fit for Yes. And if you want to, like, you know, it's, I think he honors the front man who shares his name. I think he honors that guy's history with the work he's doing here. I know some people will disagree, right? Some people will be like, oh, well, he doesn't sound like this, or he sounds too much like that, or he's, I'm like, yeah, yeah. I know it's not the same thing. But if you're, you know, and if there's so many of those verbose Yes fans who will listen with closed ears, and that's, you know, you're not going to convince them, right? You, like, it's just, you're not going to convince them that this is valid for whatever reason. They will stand their ground that Yes should be this, or Yes is only Yes when this person is there.
This ain't close to the edge. It ain't Yes.
But this band, you know, is, I don't know, man. Like, John Davison, you know, prog rock royalty. Yeah, he is. And he's just a hell of a good singer. I think his lyrics on this album are excellent. You know, I feel that, you know, he sort of explores similar terrain to what John Anderson may have looked at in the 70s and 80s that John doesn't look at now. You know, John is sort of very much in a sort of, I find that lyrically, John has found a safe spot when he does do new music that he's working in that people may love, and that's great. I find it somewhat new. John Anderson music lyrically is kind of repetitive to my ears, so I don't gravitate towards it the way that I do to like new Yes music. You know, certainly the four Yes albums that have come out since John hasn't been in the band, so Fly From Here, Heaven and Earth, The Quest, and Mirror to the Sky, I dig it all, especially for the lyrics, you know, especially for a lot of reasons, but there's a lot more diversity in the lyrics and less repetition that you could hear on albums like even Open Your Eyes. There were certain, you know, refrains that John would come back to semi-regularly. And he does so more now in his solo material. And hey, if people love it, that's amazing. And from a live perspective, John Anderson can absolutely sing. He sounds great. I'm going to see him with the band Geeks. I'm really excited for it. But in terms of new music, new Yes music, I think that this band is delivering everything I'd hope for and more.
Mirror to the Sky is available now from Inside Out Records and Sony Music. You can purchase it or stream it wherever fine music is sold. Andy, you're a nerd. So thanks for coming on and talking about Yes with me. Behind the scenes, Andy and I talk about music pretty much every damn day, and especially Yes all the time. If you could go through our chats, it'd just be a bunch of Yes talk. Any final thoughts before I wind this thing down?
Nah, you know what, man? I'm really glad that we did this, that we got to talk about a band that we love, that we got to celebrate a new album from a band that we love and be so happy about it, because you never know what you're going to get. From any new music, from any artist that you love. And I think, like we said earlier, it's a gift. It's a gift to fans who've kind of stood by and listened with open ears to Yes. It's, you know, we can talk about them until the cows come home, but this is really fun. And I thank you for bringing back Songs in the Key of X. I'm going to try and get you to do it more.
I figured you would.
Oh, you know me, of course. I'm the ultimate opportunist. But yeah, I mean, folks, go, you know, like Jeff said, Mirror to the Sky is out now. Go stream it. If you've got some pretty spiffy high-end headphones, you can listen to it in Dolby Atmos. It'll sound amazing. And yeah, go support Yes. Hopefully we'll see them on the road this year. And yeah, long live Yes.
Everybody, thank you for listening. If you've got a hot minute, check out our Yes Week coverage album reviews, interviews, the whole eternal universe of yesness. And there's other stuff on the site, too. Shit, we got a weekly This Week in Horror column that our buddy Sachin Hingu does. I write about wrestling because I'm a jerk like that. Andy writes about comics. There's shit about action figures and video games. And every once in a while, there's something else. Yeah, we're just geeks over here. Anyway, hey, my name is Jeffrey X. Martin. You have been listening to Songs in the Key of X. And until next time...